Corey Heim continues to amaze, winning his second career NASCAR Cup Series event, this time one of the crown jewels, the Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We'll talk about that and much more here on today's Fast Talk. Brad Gilley joined by Alexis Erickson and David Stiles.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
What a wonderful weekend of racing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Brad Gilley sitting in for Doug Rice here this week, along with Alexis Erickson and David Stiles. We saw Corey Heim in just his 15th career start pick up his second win, and we saw Carson Kwapel on Saturday get his first career victory in the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. A lot of fans, a lot of folks, a lot of fun around Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And here's how it sounded yesterday with Heim going to victory lane on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway radio. Network.
The final bell is now ringing. If he has time to go, the time is now. Corey Heim leads him by 2.5 car lengths. Then it's 5 back to Joey Logano. But Corey Heim of Georgia, the leader, setting into turn number 4.
24 years of age, Corey Heim about to do what he always wanted to do, win at an iconic racetrack. Off the 4 for the final time, it's Corey Heim.
As a part-time driver in the NASCAR Cup Series, Corey Heim picked up his first victory in the inaugural race at Naval Base Coronado. Now he will win the crown jewel, the Brickyard 400, presented by PPG. Corey Heim taking 23-11 Racing back-to-back at Indianapolis Motor Speedway after teammate Bubba Wallace won this race last year.
And that was a nice blended crew. You heard Jake Query from the IndyCar Series, the IMS Radio Network. You heard Chris Wilner from the Motor Racing Network, and yours truly on the call of the Brickyard 400. Brett McMillan was in victory lane to celebrate with Corey Heim, and here's how that sounded.
All right, who knew that the Brickyard was on Heim time? Congratulations.
Yeah, unbelievable. Just executed all day and put ourselves in position, and we knew it was going to come down to track position, and there we were. So, for a part-time crew and a dream kind of thing to come here and win the Brickyard, it's nuts, man. I'm just so grateful for all these guys, and it was a workout to hold off Bell there. He did an awesome job, but just did everything I could, and these guys did too, so that was awesome.
What was it like those last few laps, knowing that Christopher Bell was kind of beating down on you?
It was tough. I mean, his car seemed to be handling a lot better than mine, so I was struggling my butt out there, but yeah, props to him for nothing dirty. You know, we raced clean and never really gave him a good opportunity to get there. But that was awesome. Just unbelievable.
If they'd told you before the season that not even being full-time, you'd get two wins in two pretty big events, the San Diego race and now the Brickyard, what would you have said?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have believed you. You know, it's I believed the speed in these cars. I just didn't know if I believed in myself to execute. But here we are. I mean, just two for the last three, and hopefully we can just keep it rolling, man.
Pucker up, man. You got to kiss the bricks now.
That's right. That's right. I appreciate it.
All right. There he is, Brett McMillan in victory lane. And yes, it was a very special ceremony, the kissing of the bricks at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Alexis, Corey Heim won this race on a restart, going toe-to-toe with someone who might have been the hungriest for that crown jewel, the Brickyard 400, and someone who also owns the car that he drives, Denny Hamlin, and was able to come out victorious. What did you think of that final restart?
I mean, I think when you look at Corey Heim as not even necessarily a rookie, because he's not running full season, and look at what he did and how he was composed and poised in that moment, and he was able to race with some of the biggest names in our sport and execute, and that's what you have to do at Indianapolis. You have to execute, and he was able to do that perfectly. He's somebody that's kind of coming out of left field, I think, for a lot of race fans, because they know that he had experience and they know that he had great success in the truck series. But you don't expect a part-time team and a driver who has, I think, like maybe, 15 total starts in the Cup Series to be able to win two of the biggest events that we've had this season. So I think that he's surprising a lot of people.
David, Corey Heim seems unfazed when he goes out there. He doesn't race like a rookie.
No, he doesn't. And I think you have to put a lot of that onus on the way that they've set up this part-time schedule. I mean, him and Booty Barker, they've spent a lot of time with the sim. They make sure that he's very prepared. They're not going to any of these tracks where he doesn't have enough time to feel comfortable in the car. And their strategy on pit road yesterday was just perfect and they were able to put themselves in contention late. They got control of the race on the restart, like you said, Brad, blocking his owner. And so for me, I think this is just a cherry on the top of the cake for a season that Corey Heim, you know, the expectations are low. He's only, you know, in a handful of starts, and here he is, two wins under his belt in 2026, and he's propelling 2311 to one of their best seasons they've ever had. Seven wins now on the year for this organization, the most of any season that they've ever had in their 6 years of competing in the Cup Series.
Yeah, the most of any individual team in the NASCAR Cup Series as well, which is a pretty cool thing. You know, Alexis, when we look at Heim, one of the things we've talked about for a couple of years now is here is the best driver who doesn't have a Cup Series ride. Last year, he won nearly half the races on the Truck Series schedule on the way to a championship. But I know he's 24 years old. I know he's only run 15 races in the Cup Series, but he's pretty seasoned when it comes to NASCAR racing. You know, should we expect this out of him, or is this one of those generational anomalies?
I think maybe it's a little column A and a little column B, to be honest with you. I think he obviously is an immensely talented race car driver, and we're seeing that play out on the biggest stage that we have. But also, you know, and David alluded to it, they're able to pick the races that they want to run this season, and by doing so, they're able to hone in on those. They can kind of have like a laser focus. I don't know how many weeks he had, of sim time to prepare for this Brickyard race, but more than anybody else who is running a full-time schedule and has to worry about every single stop that we make on the Cup Series schedule this season. So he does have a bit of an advantage when it comes to sim time and being able to laser focus on whatever track that they're racing. But then he also has, a little bit of a lack of advantage because he doesn't have the experience. So I think it kind of seems to be balancing itself out, and he's having and seeing great success. I think a part of it also is the fact that he's in a Toyota, which I've said I can't even tell you how many times on this show this season. That almost feels like you're wearing a Superman cape being in a Toyota this year, because they've been so much better than the other manufacturers in the series. But 2311 also immensely successful this year, so he's got that going for him. So he has a lot of things that are playing in his favor, but I also think that you cannot overlook the fact that he's just really, really talented race car driver.
Yeah, he is. Well, one factor too, and you go back 20 years now, and you look at when Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards and so on and so forth, they were all coming into NASCAR, and they were winning, and they were winning early. But at that time, they got to test, and they got to spend Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at some other track, testing, track time. Corey Heim is also the wheel force driver for Toyota. And he did the wheel force test at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which meant he got to spend the better part of a day or two literally just running laps in a Cup Series car while they're collecting all the data. And David, I'm almost wondering to myself, should this be something that, you know, maybe should we treat rookie drivers, if you will, I know he's not officially a rookie right now, should we treat rookie drivers in a different way where we can find more track time for them to allow them to become more competitive faster?
I think it would help in some sense, but the other part of me thinks, okay, they're going to go and get track time in the car that they're going to race in, but they're not out there with the other competitors. I think we also need to think of that too. The jump from trucks to O'Reilly and then to Cup is immense. I mean, that skill gap is huge. I mean, every Sunday you're out there with the best stock car drivers on the face of the planet, and he's proving that he belongs now. Even though he did have the test at Indy, I think that may have helped him a little bit, but I think he's just extremely talented, and we'll see him kind of shine a little bit more as he gets further into his Cup career. I don't want to crown him, you know, the best driver yet or the next up-and-comer, but he's already proven that he can go and he can win races, and he has a flair for getting his car to the front and talking with his crew chief and setting it up the way that it needs to be set up to get a victory. So I think he's already a little bit above other rookies coming in to the Cup Series, and you know, it's just a matter of time to see how his career plays out, but I think he's a little bit head and shoulders above everybody else when they first come in.
I think it's interesting when you look at the juxtaposition between him running a part-time schedule and being able to get two wins and someone like Connor Zelich, who was hyped to the max, and having what seems to be a not great rookie season, which is typically how it happens, right? Because of that immense leap that you make from, you know, the Trucks or O'Reilly series to the Cup series. Typically you see rookie things happen to rookie drivers. That's what's happening to Connor Zelich. He also doesn't have, he's not in a Toyota. He, you know, his track house is not in the same, plane,
stratosphere
as 2311 is. So there, you know, you're not really comparing apples to apples. But it's just interesting to kind of look at the different trajectories of both of those guys who are extremely hyped when it comes to like the next class of NASCAR Cup Series drivers.
Yeah, Heim just simply has more years of NASCAR racing under his belt at this point than Connor Zelich does as well. And all of those points are valid. When we come back, well, one of the questions is, what can we do to get more passing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway? We'll talk about that. We'll continue to break down the Brickyard 400 here when Fast Talk continues.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with ZMAX.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Brad Gilley along with David Stiles and Alexis Erickson coming off a big win for Corey Heim at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Now, Alexis, David, when we look at the scoreboard, when we look at the results of this race, we're going to see that we did have lead changes in this one. We had 11 of them or so. We had a handful of cautions and so many other things, but the reality of it was we didn't see any passing for the lead under green. David, does NASCAR need to do something? And I know we've talked about this for three decades at Indy, to find a way for cars to be able to pass.
It didn't seem to really be a problem when we were on the road course to make passes, but I think that this race has a place on the schedule. We need to be on the 2.5-mile oval when we go to Indy, and I think it's just a product of what this track plus this car gives us. We saw it yesterday where Logano and Bell were chasing Corey Heim in those final 35 laps, and they tried to get to his back bumper, and Corey Heim didn't make any mistakes, and there were no lead changes anywhere in those last 35 laps for the lead. And Logano said after the race was over, you know, we the aero is just not there. I get to their back bumper. It takes the air off my car. I can't get any closer. I can't move up any further because he was gaining considerable time on those two and chasing them down. And I think it's just a product of this car on this track. So to me, I think we need to go back to the drawing board a little bit with the car and maybe tweak it a little bit more, which is something that is being, you know, messed with at the NASCAR level. And I think that's really the only, you know, fix to this. So just a little bit more work on the car, even though I know we've had it for a few years now.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to me because, you know, Indy is kind of unlike any other track that we have, right? So you talk about a short track package and you can apply that to any number of 5-6 racetracks. You talk about intermediate package and you can apply that to, you know, a bunch of different racetracks. When you're talking about Indy, you're kind of talking about like this one outlier. Maybe you could apply what you do at Indy to like a Pocono potentially. But I also think in that same vein that like this racetrack and this race is prestigious enough that we should do what we can do to make the competition better. You know, everybody says, oh, well, we know what Indy is. You know, okay, well, yes, we know what Indy is. We know it's an execution race. We know we're probably not going to see a lot of passing, but if we could, wouldn't we want to? You know, so if we could potentially come up with a package that would be used for just this race that could make the competition better, help us see some green flag passes for the lead, I would be all for that. But regardless, I think we need to be racing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Like, that's the bottom line. If this is the racing we get, I still want us to race there.
Agreed.
Yeah. Great point. And you know what? You bring up what you say about this is a prestigious event. Maybe we should take everything we can and put it into this. Saturday's race, there were comers and goers. There were passes. Now, on the O'Reilly cars, they actually had the same engine aerodynamic combo that they have at Echo Park Speedway, which is a normal aerodynamic package, but the engine was tuned down a little bit to the same engine package that they have on speedway races like Daytona, Talladega, and Echo Park. Maybe there's something there for the Cup cars. And you know, I on this one, I don't want to necessarily look at Goodyear because that's an easy place to look as well. And we've seen some amazing things that they've done for short track and road course racing and intermediate racing. Indianapolis Motor Speedway is the hardest track for them to design a tire. The reason being, this track had been diamond grinded, diamond ground, whatever the proper tense of that is. But it's very abrasive in just a different way than any other track. So it's a big challenge for them. Not that they can't go to the drawing board, but I don't want to put the onus on them. I'm wondering what we can't do from an engine and aerodynamic standpoint to be able to say, hey, here's something that we can either do to A, create the ability to drive up to a back bumper and get next to someone, and or B, have it to where this car might actually start wearing out toward the end of a run, and you do have comers and goers, and like we had on Saturday, you know, we saw them go out there and we saw people abuse their tires and then not abuse their tires and go out there and pass and not pass and all of that. So I feel like there is something that can be done, David.
Yeah, there's something there engineering wise, and I'm like you, I don't really think the tire issue is the issue. We didn't see as many, you know, left rears, right rears blow. We did have that problem with Kyle Larson this past Sunday. But you're right, the O'Reilly cars, they're able to go out there and run together in packs and make passes, and it may be something that we just need to look at for these Cup cars to see if we can tune it just a little bit, just to give it a little bit more of a competitive edge so that, like you said, Brad, you can drive up to somebody's rear bumper and then move around them.
I can't tell you how many times, and I said this before we came on the air, that I've heard, oh, there hasn't been a green flag pass for the lead in the last 3 years and all this stuff. But I also heard the stat that there was 70,000 people there yesterday. Yeah. So people come to this race. They appreciate the event. They appreciate the venue. They appreciate the Cup Series being at this racetrack. So whatever we can do to make the racing better, you know, I think is certainly something we should look into. But also just not lose sight of the fact that, like, just this event is a very cool event, and people come out to it, and people are interested in being there to witness it.
I like that. The Brickyard is amazing for sure. It was amazing for Toyota as well, David. How about that Toyota performance report?
Toyota's strong year continues. Again, Corey Heim at the top of the leaderboard. He finished in first. Christopher Bell with a second place finish. And then two more JGR teammates in fourth and fifth of Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin. Then we go down to 10th place where we find Tyler Reddick. 12th, Ty Gibbs, he led some laps, but the strategy Bugaboo kind of bit him there. He finished in 12th. 27th was Eric Jones. 28th was Bubba Wallace. John Hunter Nemechek, he got in that tete-a-tete there with Ryan Blaney, ended up messing up his shot at the $1 million. He finished in 32nd. And then Riley Herbst in 36th will round out our Toyota performance report. Again, that report brought to you by Toyota. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com.
When we come back to Fast Talk, we had a pretty cool announcement over the Brickyard weekend about a final race for a 7-time champion. We'll talk about that right after this.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Race fans, November 4th through the 7th, Dirt Racing's most celebrated stars will shine in an electrifying spectacle, the World of Outlaws World Finals at the Dirt Track at Charlotte. Purchase a ticket package by Monday, August 3rd at alldirtroads.com and get a free pit pass. All Dirt Roads lead to Charlotte as the World of Outlaws sprint cars, late models, and super dirt car big block modifieds collide.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, along with David Stiles and Alexis Erickson. My name is Brad Gilley. Corey Heim, the winner of the Brickyard 400, the first rookie to do so, and his second Cup victory in just his 15th career start, and a lot of future for Corey Heim for sure. Now let's transition to a driver who has accomplished so much in his career, Jimmy Johnson. An 83-time winner, a 7-time champion, a NASCAR Hall of Famer. He is going to run his final Cup Series race in the 2027 Daytona 500. Over the weekend, they announced that Jimmy Johnson will be allowed to run his final race in car number 48, the car number where he won 7 championships. He's still going to be running for his Legacy Motor Club. He's still going to be running in a Toyota, but Ally, Hendrick Motorsports, and everyone got together and said it's only appropriate to see Jimmy Johnson run his final race in the number that he made famous. Alexis, what a cool way of everyone getting together for just a great guy and a champion of our sport.
Yeah, I mean, what a great way to honor him and what he has done, what he has meant to NASCAR as a whole. I think it will definitely be interesting for fans to see the 48 out on the racetrack with a Toyota badge on the front, but it'll be even cooler and more sentimental to see it with Jimmy Johnson behind the wheel. So I hope that he's able to go out there and have a great race, not get taken out of, you know, anything that's not his. You never know at those races. It could be a short race for him. It could be, you know, a spectacular race for him. But either way, it's going to be really, really cool to see Jimmy Johnson in the 48 back at Daytona.
I don't think that there's a number synonymous with another driver outside of maybe Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt, where you look at a number and say that is who belongs in that car.
And also seven-time champions.
Seven-time champions. So yeah. To me, this is perfect. It's a perfect ending to a career that has been storied. I mean, who wins five championships in a row? Jimmy Johnson. And he's just done so much for our sport. He's a great ambassador for our sport. He's also still an owner. So this is just perfect. And I'm super happy that they're doing this because we'll get to see him one last time in that highlighter yellow 48 font. And I'm really excited for it.
I saw somebody tweeting at Lowe's like, hey, this yeah. is an opportunity. Yes. Don't miss out this opportunity, Lowe's Home Improvement. So hopefully somebody in their marketing department is listening. We'll see.
Man, wouldn't that be great? Well, and the other side of it, you know, this really ties into another big announcement from this past week. Alex Bowman is the current driver of the 48, and he will drive the 48 all throughout the rest of the 2027 season, but that will also be Alex Bowman's final season as a Cup Series driver. So, David, you know, Bowman's an eight-time winner in the Cup Series. He spent a decade with Hendrick Motorsports, and at 34 years old, he'll be retired.
It's just wild to see. We kind of came in to the sport around the same time. I started at PRN in 2015. Just tip of my hat to him. Who else can call their shot and kind of go out on their own timeline? I think it's perfect for him. He's kind of a different guy. Really got to know him a good deal this past year and the years prior. And who would have thought that he even said it on an interview a long time ago. Hendrick's not going to call me. He's not going to show up. And here we are, 10 years later. He's had a 10-year career at Hendrick Motorsports. He's, to me, had a successful career. I hope that he can win a couple more races, at least end it with 10 races, and we'll see what happens. He's really good on a number of tracks. I think he doesn't get as much love as his teammates do. He's still a really, really good race car driver, and he's just been part of this sport for the past decade. So my hat's off to you, Alex Bowman. I hope your 2027 season in the Cup Series is very successful and you get a couple more wins.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Alex and he's had an interesting career. You know, he it's funny you referenced that interview. I saw Alan Kavanagh, you know, who's on our team sometimes, posted that about him saying that, you know, he never thought that Rick would call him. Well, he did, and they first called him to be just their, you know, their test driver, yeah. their sim driver. And he was able to parlay that into, you know, what has been a pretty good career for him. And I love the fact that he's able to say, look, this is what I want to do. And he was very truthful and honest about it. He said, it's about my health. We know he's had some health struggles just this year. He was out of the car due to vertigo for a couple weeks, but it's more than that. You know, it's also his mental health. He talked about wanting to be a dad and being able to not bring home the stresses of the racetrack into an environment where his children will be. And I totally respect that. I respect him deciding how he wants to write his own story, and also in Rick Hendrick and that whole team for allowing him to do that.
He's also a pretty accomplished race car owner too.
Yeah.
Alex Bowman Racing, they go to the Chili Bowl. He has some midget cars, some sprint cars, so he's still injected in racing. I know he said he wants to do some other things around racing. He just doesn't want to run full-time in the Cup Series anymore. And to me, that interview with Jeff Gluck where he talks about sitting down with his financial advisor and they go, well, how long do you really want to run? And he goes, I'm not going to run past 35. And they're like, what? And he goes, no, like that's just the plan. So picking up this extension for the 2027 season, I think is perfect for him. He's doing things his own way and you have to applaud him for it.
Yep.
All right, let's tie all this back together now. So Jimmy Johnson in the Daytona 500 is going to run the number that Alex Bowman currently runs, the number 48. They have not yet announced what Alex will run. I talked to Jeff Andrews, the president of Hendrick Motorsports, last week, and I asked him, hey, what special things might you consider doing for Alex Bowman? Is there anything in the works at all? And he said, yeah, we're actually working with Ally to maybe plan some paint schemes or some different things to really honor Alex and what his contribution's been. He's the only driver that's won in the Ally sponsored car. He's done a lot for them as well. But I have to wonder, Alexis, you know, it's one thing to look at it and say, well, what number could Hendrick put on the car? I wonder if Alex Bowman might have a number that's near and dear to him that we might be able to see him run then in the Daytona 500.
Well, it's interesting because when I think about Alex Bowman, obviously you think about the 48, but I also think about the 88 and what he was able to do when he came in to sub for Dale Jr. when Dale Jr. was having some health struggles and sat out some races at the end of his career. Currently, obviously, that 88 is in use at another team, but you never know what dealings might go on in the offseason to potentially change some things around. So who knows? I mean, I don't know exactly what they're going to do. I'm sure that they have stuck with Alex. They have been the sponsor for him for so many years and are entrenched in his career and in his history in the sport. I'm sure they're going to come up with some fantastic ways to honor him, as is Hendrick Motorsports. I, for one, I'm kind of excited to see that. It's funny, too, because Alex said, look, if I had, you know, my druthers, I would not have even announced my retirement, because he knows. He's seen this play out before. He's seen it play out with Jimmy Johnson. He's seen it play out with Dale Jr. and everybody else, Kevin Harvick, all these drivers that have retired. Everywhere you go now, next season, somebody's going to be giving you a rocking chair or, you know, some kind of piece of memorabilia. But that's kind of what's cool about it, too. Yeah. He should be honored that way, even though he'd probably rather just make an Irish goodbye and say, you know, we'll see you later. But I think it'll be really cool to honor him next year. And I'm sure the racetracks and the sanctioning body and Hendrick and even his teammates will find really cool ways to do it.
I hope so. He is truly just a good human being. So really happy for him for sure. When we come back, there were a lot of things that happened during the Brickyard 400. There was some anger. There was some celebration as well. In fact, one driver's $1 million richer. We'll talk about all of that up next here on Fast Talk.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines, plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN pit stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's crack him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, along with Alexis Erickson and David Stiles. My name is Brad Gilley, sitting in the chair for Doug Rice here today. I'm actually sitting in a hotel in Speedway, Indiana, just down the road from Indianapolis Motor Speedway after an amazing Brickyard 400 weekend. And that Brickyard 400 was amazing for one driver because he is now $1 million richer. The in-season bracket challenge came down to Todd Gilliland, who had finished sixth in the prior two Brickyard 400s, and Ryan Blaney. And it looked like Ryan Blaney was going to run away with that $1 million check. Well, until we have a big caution there on the back straightaway when John Hunter Nemechek tried to put his car in a place where it just simply wouldn't fit. Alexis, at one point, it looked like he was going to easily go to Todd Gilliland. Blaney started coming on at the end as well, though. That was pretty surprising, but what a day for that number 34 team.
I know. Such a huge day for them. I'm sure they probably would have preferred that they get the $1 million with a better than, I think, what, 24th place finish. However, Todd Gilliland, the Todd father, which, by the way, I have to say is, again, this, for a second week in a row, is like one of the best nicknames in the garage. But it wasn't easy. You know, it wasn't easy. Most of the race, it looked like Ryan Blaney was going to run away with it. He was, in the top 10 for much of the race, had a really good race going, then had that incident. And you thought, oh, no, is he going to be done? And then he wasn't. No. I thought after the initial crash that he was probably going to be out of the race. But, no, they were able to rally. And for a while there was only one car. I think it was maybe Ricky Stenhouse that was in between the two of them.
A.J. Allmendinger.
Oh, A.J. Allmendinger. Yep, that was in between the two of them, and Todd had mentioned the fact that he was like, oh wait, this is not a foregone conclusion that I'm going to win this. So he got a little bit nervous, but yeah, big payday for Todd and that team, and that's just really cool. I like the in-season tournament. I don't know how other people feel about it. Some people think that it's, you know, just another story on the outside, but it doesn't affect anything. You still get the racing, but it's right. Another storyline that you get to follow. It's another thing that yesterday we got to say, okay, well, there's not a whole lot of passes for the lead, and we kind of know how this is going, but hey, where's Ryan Blaney? Yeah. Where's Todd Gilliland? Where's this going to play out? And then, of course, you know, you have the excitement of Blaney having that crash and then not knowing where that was going to end up. So I enjoy the in-season tournament personally. I hope it continues.
Well, I enjoy it too for selfish reasons, because I'm really good at picking matchups on our betting show, Racers Odds.
Yep.
So I hit that bet. It's a pretty good day for me, you know.
Yeah.
Gilly with a Millie. I think that they should add that to
Gilly
his nicknames.
I heard somebody call him the Gillionaire.
Yeah, the Gillionaire. Yep. That's good.
Yeah,
as well.
I like that.
He's also driving a really cool race car this week with the Grillo's Pickles paint scheme, and I like pickles and I like Grillo's, so it's a good scheme.
And let me just say, like, props to the marketing social teams on both Penske and for Todd Gilliland and his team, because they went hard with
they
the Grillo's Pickles, and like the rivalry and the, you know, the crap talking between the two of them, and Blaney, you know, spiking the pickle video and all that. Like, they had fun with it. They played it up. They were able to get like some really great content out of it, and I appreciate that. I think that's cool.
The other cool thing about it too is Todd told his team, he said, do not tell me where I'm at unless I'm in front of him and we're near the end of the race.
right.
And they came on the radio and they said, you're in front of him
and we're near the end of the race.
And he went, what? And they're like, yes, like, you have to maintain position. He is behind you. And so he was able to keep AJ Allmendinger in between them.
Yep.
He's a million-dollar richers now. I mean, it's great for Todd. He's a good race car driver, and it's just good to see him win a little extra cash.
It was great. All right, so another one of the things that's making headlines out of the Brickyard is we get late in the race, and at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it's a 2.5-mile track. If you're within about 7 to 9 seconds of the leader, you could actually pit under green and come back off of pit road and still remain on the lead lap. And that's the goal when you go out to make a pit stop, is to be able to do that if you have the ability. Well, Carson Hocevar was not able to do that. And it wasn't because they had a slow pit stop. Hocevar had to come in, get four tires, and they had to top off with Sunoco fuel. That takes extra time. And on the broadcast, we're watching this race coming off of turn number two with Corey Heim. That's who Hocevar needed to be in front of. And Hocevar coming off the acceleration lane. Well, guess what? Hocevar didn't. He had to tuck in behind Heim. And he was aggressively looking to do everything he could to pass Corey. Corey wasn't going to let it happen. And by the time Heim went to make his pit stop, Hocevar drove down the racetrack like he was going to be coming onto pit road, really just to get as close to Heim's car as he could. Stuck the middle finger out the window. He was mad at Corey Heim. David, should he be? Or is that just Hocevar getting a little too hot under the collar for something he didn't need to be?
I think that's Hocevar just being Carson Hocevar, and he gave him the salute for, hey, you're number one, and he scared his spotter half to death. He was like, wait, what are we doing? And he was like, nothing, we're not pitting. And he went back out on the racetrack, and it's, to me, I just love it. I think it's just part of the sport, and you could tell Carson was mad behind him. He's like, I got to get around him, and he just couldn't do it. Like we said, it's hard to pass at Indy. And I like it. I think it was just great. And then on top of this, we get to the end of the race and Corey Heim wins the race and he's doing the post-race show and they ask him, hey, did you see Carson Hocevar give you the salute? And Heim goes, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And they show him the video and he goes, well, I still handed him a big fat L. So
Right.
That's the coolest thing about it is Corey Heim just instantly picks it right back up and goes, well, it didn't bother me any and he still did not win. So it's all good.
I think it's Hocevar being Hocevar.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people like about him is that, you know, he's very passionate. He has a personality that he is not afraid to show. I personally do not think there was any reason that he should be mad at Corey Heim. Corey was doing what he was supposed to do on the racetrack, but you could see the frustration boiling. You could see that. And if that's how he felt like he needed to get the frustration out, you know, more power to it. The thing that I like the most out of this is that you're looking at Carson Hocevar, who is clearly on the rise. He's had some success. He was the pole sitter for the weekend. You know, he is gaining followers by the thousands likely every week. And then you have Corey Heim, who is, you know, winning races and putting his name out there. And hopefully this is going to intersect in a couple years of two really good race car drivers that are battling week in and week out with a full-blown rivalry. Brad, how many times have you said that one of the things that this sport is missing is a full-blown rivalry? And this could be the start of something beautiful.
I hope so. And let me give my rivalry speech because people get it wrong. A rivalry is two drivers competitively going head-to-head on the racetrack. A feud is two drivers who don't like each other and are mad at each other. There is a big difference. Do not cross feud with rivalry and vice versa. But here's my take on this, and this is going to be my old man get off the lawn moment here, all right? I'm here for everything Hocevar does. Don't get me wrong. I think it's awesome. I love his personality, and it really electrifies the fan base in the sport and is bringing a lot of new folks in. That's great. But from a practical standpoint, on the racetrack, if Carson Hocevar wants to go out there and win multiple races like Corey Heim has now done, he doesn't need to let a moment like that get under his head. Heim was in no obligation to let him by. Heim was obviously racing him for the win, even though they were at a different point on that lap, being nose to tail. Heim didn't need to do that. Hocevar just needed to settle in and say, okay, Heim is going to pit at some point. That's going to be my opportunity to go, and I'll try and do the same thing to him. So you can't let those things get under your skin. If you're thinking about that, you're not thinking about how you're going to win the race. That said, I'm still here for everything Hocevar does.
Absolutely. And I think that might be a little bit of a difference, too, between Heim and Hocevar, where it seems like you're right. Hocevar has those moments where he gets a little frustrated. He gets a little hot under the collar. You know, he has conversations on the radio where you're like, okay, maybe calm down a little bit, get back in the groove, get your head in the game. And Heim, on the other hand, as young as he is, too, seems to have that cool, calm, and collected demeanor. And that could be what is helping him be successful.
I think it goes back to just the on-track experience that Corey Heim has. And he's just a proven winner. He just wins. He knows how to win. And Carson Hocevar is, too. He's very talented as well. But like you said, he's just easy-killed, cool, calm, and collected, and calculated. And he just takes care of his race car. You don't ever see him put that thing in a precarious situation where it's like, maybe you shouldn't have done that. No, he's keeping it right where it needs to be. So I think you're right. These two are on a collision course, and I think it'll be fun to watch over the coming years.
Yeah, I'm here for it for sure. You know what else I'm here for? Green flag, black flag. That's coming up next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
You come to Bristol for the race. You stay for this. You remember this. It's Bristol, baby. It's Bristol, baby. Because what you came for is never just what you get. It's more. It's always more. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race at Bristol, September 19th. Get your tickets today at bristolmotorspeedway.com.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert. And we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Brad Gilley along with David Stiles and Alexis Erickson. And it is time now for my favorite segment of the week, Kent Bernhardt.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Well, we have no Doug Rice today, but there are still plenty of brain cells left in the room.
I was going to say, who's going to be the pessimist today?
Yeah, well.
That's right. Who has to play the grumpy old man on the porch role?
Well, Brad already done that. Yeah.
I'll take that.
All right. Here we go. We got some statements to read. We'll read those. Our panel will mull them over. If they agree with said statement, they give it a green flag. I say they give it a green flag. There we go. Thank you. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. I just washed these hands and can't do a thing with them. So here we go. Let's go. Brad Gilley, first of all, Joey Logano will make the top 10 before the chase begins.
Yes. Green flag. This is what I love. Joey Logano is outside of chase contention 2 weeks ago, races his way in a big way with a win at North Wilkesboro Speedway, and then immediately says, yeah, we were outside of the top 16, but now that we're in it, I think we can go top 10. Guess what? After a third place finish yesterday, he's only 64 points away from that. Mm. And I want to see a greedy Joey Logano at Iowa, Richmond, New Hampshire Motor Speedway, and Daytona come from behind and race his way back up into the top 10 as the number 10 chase seed.
What do you think, David Stiles?
If Joey Logano was a Marvel superhero, he'd be the Wolverine because you just can't get rid of him. No matter what happens, he keeps coming back for more. And I've said it for a couple of weeks now. They're going to make a push. He's going to make the top 10. He could even be, dare I say it, a championship contender. Green flag for me.
All right. What thinky, Alexis?
Yeah, so I'm going to also say green flag. And I will say that at first when you posed the question, I was like, oh, I don't know. And then Brad listed out the racetracks, and I was like, oh, yeah, those are good racetracks for Joey. So, yes, I'm going to go green flag.
All right, let's go to David Stiles this one first. It's never okay to do a burnout on the bricks at Indy.
I'm going to say, yeah, don't do that. Like, let's not do that. But I'm going to give Carson Quapel a pass. It's your first win ever. You win at the most historic racetrack on the face of the planet. You take your ear molds out. You're excited. And it just gets away from you, and you do a burnout across them. Let's just give him a pass. Let's cool the heat.
You give it a green flag, but. All right, here we go. Alexis.
Be gentle.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. It's hard because you understand, you know, especially when you see videos of the workers out there with like their little toothbrushes scrubbing on the bricks. You're like, okay, they're taking this real seriously, and it should be. It's hallowed ground. It is the most famous racetrack in the world. But to the same point that David said, like, this poor kid just won the first race he's ever raced. He's finished second. I don't know how many times this season he's waited for this moment. And I can guarantee you, as he's waited for this moment, thoughts of doing a burnout were dancing in his head. So we've got to give him a little bit of a break. I'm going to go ahead and say if Indy doesn't want you doing burnouts on the bricks, then yes, green flag, you should not do them. However, let's chill out, folks. Please give this kid a break.
Brad Gilly.
Look, green flag. Indianapolis Motor Speedway is hallowed ground. Those bricks have been there for more than 110 years. Do not deface them. Now, I get it was his first win, but I'm going to take this a little further, too, and this goes to the track workers and all of that. With no disrespect to the Friday or Saturday show, all of that stuff is painted up and looking pretty ready for the big crowd of the weekend on Sunday. Quit doing burnouts over logos. Let that happen on Sunday.
Interesting.
Okay. All right. There
you
go.
Behind that.
Alexis, yeah. We give you this
one. Ops crews can get behind that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Corey Heim's success won't come as easy once he races full time in 2027.
Oh man, you know, normally I would say yes, green flag. And you know what? I think I am going to say green flag, but with the caveat, because I mean, obviously he's already won two races, yeah. So he doesn't have that cloud, that dark cloud hanging over his head of, oh, you got to get to, usually it's 100 races before you get your first win and all that. So he's going to have a little bit of that, you know, proverbial monkey off his back when he already goes to start his rookie season. However, and I've said this, I cannot tell you how many times on the show, rookie things happen to rookie drivers. So, you know, and this is a hard series. When you're racing every single week, the grind of the schedule, everything that happens, I don't know if it's going to come as easily to him next year as it has come to him this year. With that said, I think he's probably still going to be relatively successful.
Brad Gilly.
I'll say to be different, black flag. Corey Heim, by the time his career is over, we are going to look at him as a generational talent. And not only is he winning early, but he is not going to stop winning.
All right, David?
I'm going to say black flag as well. I think that the way that they set him up in this first 15-race stretch, I think it kind of just eases him back in. He'll be ready to go once the green flag flies in 2027.
All right, you want to do a couple more? Let's do this.
Here we go.
Let's go, Brad. Here we go. The length of a NASCAR race still needs to be shorter.
Ooh, green flag. Someone had put out a stat, and it was all the numbers of lengths of races and games, and an NFL game is over 3 hours, but a baseball game and a basketball game and so on and so forth, they're somewhere in that 2.5 hour range. I would be okay if our races were sub 3 hours. Yeah.
David?
I'm going to say black flag. I want us to keep the amount of racing that we have. I think that we've got a pretty good thing going right now. Let's just not make changes for the sake of changing things.
So. Alexis.
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag, and this is even going to probably get me some haters on the internet. I would even like to go to timed races, to be honest with
now,
you.
I wouldn't mind that.
That would be awesome.
Timed races instead of laps, I think, would be right up my alley.
And one more quickie.
Can I add a caveat real quick to that? Do not ever think about touching the length of the Daytona 500, the Coca-Cola 600,
correct.
And the Southern 500.
Agreed.
Those stay sacred.
Agreed.
Very understood, and that will be our will going forward. All right, here we go. One more quickie. Here we go. This off week could not come at a better time for Kyle Larson and the number 5 team. Let's go to Alexis.
Green flag. I read a stat. He's had, I think it's like 5 out of the last 6 weeks have been really terrible, dismal for that team. They need a little bit of a reset. I think Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, to be honest with you, needs a little bit of a reset. But certainly that number 5 team, they just can't seem to get that monkey off their back. So hopefully this off weekend will allow Kyle and team to reset and come back refreshed.
All right, Brad?
I'll say green flag. But I'll say it because there's probably some good sprint car racing somewhere. And
oh,
Kyle
he's
going to
be racing,
be in it.
Yeah.
All right, and David?
Green flag. He's dropped 2 positions in point standings after this race. So I think a little time off might be good for him. Like Brad said, let's get in another race car, clear your mind, come back ready to go at Iowa.
Maybe he'll be in a Bandolero or a Legend Car Summer Shootout
his
tomorrow.
His daughter has been out here at Summer Shootout. She's been turning laps here on the quarter mile at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Yeah. He was out here being her PR person. She was signing autographs one night, and he was here helping her sign autographs. So pretty cool of him.
All right, Brad, what's up?
Coming up, one last thing.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing 4 tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack.
His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Been a lot of fun sitting in Doug Rice's chair here today, even though my Doug Rice chair happens to be in a hotel room in Speedway, Indiana, post Frickyard 400. But it's also awesome to hang out with Alexis Erickson and David Stiles. And to close out the show, we'll do it as we always do with this.
One last thing.
All right, so Doug usually points at me first for one last thing. So guess what? David Stiles, you're in the hot seat.
Well, my one last thing is going to be about racing. So I got a notification on my phone early Sunday morning. The girls had kind of gotten up early, and it said, hey, do you want to watch Formula E? And I was like, I haven't watched a Formula E race before. Let's turn it on and watch it. I was pleasantly surprised in how compelling it was, the different strategies that they had. They had to maintain their energy. They had a spot where you could run on the track, and it would give you a boost of power, and you could pass more cars. It was pretty compelling. So that ended, and then we watched Formula One, and both the girls are like, ooh, race cars, and they sit there and we watched race cars. There wasn't a lot of passing in that race either.
No, typically not.
Norris ended up winning off of some strategy. Oscar Piastri had a disastrous day, had a gearbox go out on like the 56th lap, so that was fun to watch, but it kind of goes back to a conversation we were having before. Just because there's no passing, that doesn't mean that the race wasn't compelling or it wasn't good. I thought the fuel strategy at Indy was interesting, how you had to load up at different stages in the race to make sure that you had enough to go all the way to the end. And we saw those passes being made on pit road and through that. I think that we need to keep running the current configuration of Indy on the track that it is on. And I thought the race was pretty good, and we got a good winner. So that's my one last thing. Just because there's no passing doesn't mean that the race wasn't compelling.
Yeah, people certainly tune into those Formula One races, so there's not a whole lot of passing in those that series.
That they do.
I want to talk about another headline that was this weekend that we haven't discussed, but I thought it was probably one of the coolest headlines that came out of this past week, and that's that Days of Thunder 2 is in talks to start current production. You've got Tom Cruise is going to be reprising his role as Cole Trickle. My guess is that he might come back as like a team owner or something. I don't know. We'll see. And that it's going to be produced by Tom Cruise, Jerry Bruckheimer, who was, you know, huge in the first film. Jonathan Levine is in talks to direct. I would not be surprised if this does move forward, which it seems like it's going to, if you'll see a lot of Tom Cruise, a lot of other actors, a lot of cameras and things around a lot of races in 2027. So I'm pumped for that. I think that that will be a fantastic second addition to a movie that is much beloved and kind of hollow ground for the NASCAR fan.
You know someone who's just going to be like, meh about it?
Kyle?
Christopher Bell.
Oh, Christopher
he hasn't
Bell.
Watched the original Days
oh, yeah,
of Thunder.
That's right. That's right.
They asked him, mm-hmm. He said, nah, I haven't watched it. There's no TVs in Oklahoma.
So. I guess not.
There we go. Well, look, we already have the skeleton of a script. It was called Top Gun Maverick, and now we could have NASCAR Top Gun again.
There you go.
I'm very pumped for that. Hey, it's been an awesome week. We have an off week for NASCAR this week. The next race is coming up in 2 weeks at Iowa Speedway. For Alexis Erickson, for David Stiles, thank you, Doug Rice, for allowing me to sit in your chair. Thank you, Kent Bernhardt, Andrew Curlin, and Harold Hamrick. We'll be back next week with more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.